At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
This would be the fundamental reason why I'm going to read the next book. Why'd you call it the Many Nations War?
What was that?
What was that about? Couldn't you come up with, like, you got so many other cooler names. Couldn't you come up
what
with...
What would you have called it?
Oh, I mean, World War. I mean, World War works.
Would you call me Kitten?
Welcome back to the Tudor Ramble podcast. My name is Richard.
My name is Austin.
Today, we're talking about Jade City by Fonda Lee, our book review. This was our book of the month for November for our Patreon book club of the month.
Yes, it was.
It was a good time to talk about. But overall thoughts, this is going to be...
We're going to give you spoiler-free. So spoiler-free, 10-15 yeah. minutes, as always. Got it for the
always
new viewers.
Yeah.
Got to let them know that. And as we're going to give our opinion, we're in a rock and a hard place. Is that the saying? Between a rock and a hard place?
Yeah.
I understand that saying now because we didn't love the book. Didn't like the book. But we
not even just, you know, with Christopher Eames where it was like,
yeah,
it's pretty good, but it's fine. Like, we're neutral. We don't think it's bad. We don't think it's that good. Like, we were in the middle. This is a little different. We do not particularly like the book.
But the issue with that here, so this is where it comes out. Are we honest critics? What can we do here? How can we give our honest thoughts? Because we have an interview coming with Fonda Lee. We're recording it next week with her. Mm-hmm. Because even if we don't like the book, I'm going to love talking to her.
Yeah,
and have a great time. But going to be fully honest with Jade Shitty, the shittiest book I've ever written.
No, it's
not that bad. And also, we're going to be fair to give who would like this book. What kind of reader is this for? Why didn't we like it? So constructive thoughts of why this didn't fit our taste and what issues we had, while also showing there's people in the Patreon, for example, that did love the book that gave us examples of why it connected with them. So, Rich, without further ado, want me to give a quick overview of Jade City, and then we'll go from there, because this book, to show that this is well-loved even by critics, unlike us, this is loved by critics because it has the World Fantasy Award for Best Novel, won in 2018, because this book came out in 2017 by author Fonda Lee, and it's a completed trilogy, so if you want to start this, you can finish. And the good news is, for people that might not have loved the first book, everybody, including the people that liked the first book, says the trilogy as a whole gets better and better. It's one of those series that first book is the worst, then the second is the next best, then the third is the greatest of them all.
Which, hey, that follows a very similar trend for a lot of my favorite series, where the first book is just not the best. Like, Lacanis Trilogy. I actively dislike the first book. The only reason I went on is because I had nothing better to do. I was like, I guess I'll read the second book. I already bought it. And ultimately, the third book is top tier book. Love that ending. It's an amazing series. Love the author. I mean, God, Empire Silence.
That happened for me, where I actively dislike Empire Silence, and Howling Dark gave a 5 out of 5.
All of that concluded.
Bless you.
Whew. All of that's being said, I was convinced by Jai Sedai and our Patreon to continue on with the series as well. Yeah. We'll see if I could finish book two before our interview. Who knows? Maybe I can speed read it.
We're also going to see her at Dragonsteel, too, most likely. So
more likely.
Yes, more than likely. But this also won the Aurora Award for Best Novel, Locus Award, Nebula Award. So, didn't win those. It was a finalist in the Locus and the Nebula, but it won the Aurora Award. Just to show it has lots of accolades. And to give a spoiler-free pitch, I guess, for what is this book about, how would you define its genre?
Pretty simple. It's fantasy... Fantasy Godfather.
Yeah.
Mafiosa.
Mafiosa.
Gangster, crime family.
Yep.
Crime family drama, basically.
Exactly.
But in a fantasy world where Jade provides, if you are touching Jade and you have the certain ability, you can do superhuman feats.
Yep.
And then if you don't have the latent ability, it messes you up.
Yeah. Imagine urban fantasy. So you should like more modern day tech where
you get guns.
Yeah. You get guns in here. Not overly guns, but there's guns. They exist.
There are guns.
Yes.
They're pretty effective. Guns are very effective, even in the magical world.
Even in fantasy. Yes. Yeah. And so what kind of reader would like this, do you think? If they've read another book and they liked it, what kind of similar book? Or I get the mafiosa works for film genre and whatnot, but is there a similar book you'd go, oh, if you like this, you would like Jade City?
It's harder for me in the sense of I didn't like the book, so that's a harder thing to draw on because I like several other books and I didn't like this one.
True.
So how would I compare that? But if you like the setting of Powder Mage series, you like the setting from something like Mistborn Era 2, you like the mix of fantasy and modern-ish tech, then this is definitely in your range. Also, it's important to focus on, it's not a focus on the magic systems. It's not your farm boy discovering magic. It is, you're plopped into the world, magic established, you're following a crime drama. That's what it is.
Yeah, don't go in expecting
epic
rules and magic and how the system works and just it, not Elementzy at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess to give, because on the front cover, there's several authors here. One, Scott Lynch, who wrote Lies of Locke Lamora, says it's vivid and tautly described. And Ken Liu, Grace of Kings, and plenty of other books too. He was on our podcast. Ken doesn't watch. He says stylish and action-packed. So even authors of those different books say something about it. I wouldn't say it's a one-to-one. If you like Lies of Locke Lamora, you'll like this. But
very different.
But kind of that, I could see it. I could see it a little bit.
The city fantasy type deal.
Yeah, I could see some, but it's tough. Yeah, you're right, because how to get a good descriptor. But for those were some authors who had really enjoyed it. Of course, shouting out to this was our book club. So Jai Sadai, he's the one that got us to read this. And he says he likes that it's not the chosen one trope. And he likes that the Jade's already a thing. He found it as more of a, not a magic kind of grind and elemantic level series, but he enjoyed that the Jade was integrated in the whole culture and just how it was a crime family versus crime family. So he was into it.
He changed my mind on a certain element that we'll get into in world building.
Sweet. Sweet. And then we had other people. I guess the feel from our small focus group was the range was 2 stars to 5 stars. At the low end, 2. At the high end, 4. So it probably lands in the middle at 3 stars for most people.
Probably.
Because there were several. I know Murdy, Kendall, Levy, they all gave it 2 stars. Then others like Jai gave it 4 stars. And his one statement he just wanted to say was, Hilo is babe. Hilo's a character. He really likes Hilo. So
I think the key to this, the general detractors, is the two elements, is the style of writing. Some people just did not like the style of writing, myself included. And including that, the characters. People had trouble connecting to some of these characters. And if both of those things aren't the same for you, like you actually do connect with some of the characters, or you do like the style of her writing, then everything else is really good. I can acknowledge there were several scenes in here that, if done, if I liked the characters more, I would think it would be really emotional.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't connect with the characters, and so I didn't like the scene as much. So that's the problem for me.
Yes. And before we go full into our thoughts, affiliate link in the description below if you want to check out the book before we give our Debbie Downer thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And big thank you to Displit for sponsoring this video here. Thank you, Displate, for sponsoring this video. We are honored to be sponsored by them yet again. They have sponsored us so much, and we love them. They are the metal poster company. And as you can see, Rich and I here, we have some designs. This James Webb Telescope design, Sauron design.
This one's actually in my bedroom.
Yes, it is.
I took it off the wall, right? Which, side note,
yeah,
how easy it is to actually take this off the wall and put it back on. I just went to my room, took it off the magnets.
You can
brought it in here.
And swap it with this one, too.
Exactly.
How it works, you just put the metal magnet on the wall, put the poster up, and we love supporting us. We used them before we even had a channel in the first place. Displate has all your types of books you'd love. You can just look up on Displate.com like, oh, Sword of Kaigan stuff, oh, Lord of the Rings stuff, whatever you want to look up, they will have, most likely have a poster out there from some artists, because they have thousands of artists who just come together, make kick-ass stuff like this.
There's also, they have also been improving with some of the textures and yes. the glosses. So now it looks a little better than just a static flat design.
If you feel this, it actually has texture to it. It's got
divots. It comes off well
cool
in
stuff.
Person.
Yes, it really does. And if you want to go check out Display, use code 2TORAMBLE on their site. They're always offering like a 20 to 40%, depends on when you go check out their site. We'll have the exact percentage on screen in the description, but use code 2TORAMBLE. They've been supporting us for such a long time now. We really do love them. And Display, thank you so much before we get right back to the episode. Okay, Rich, spoiler-free thoughts. What did you think of the book? Full spoiler-free thoughts.
Full spoiler-free. Yep. Overall, I gave it a 2.5 out of 5 stars.
2.5 stars?
So,
Disappointed. Yeah.
To give the background, I think people may have heard, I've mentioned before, of I did try to read this book before over 2 years ago, and I stopped on page 200, basically at...
This is spoiler-free.
What?
That's spoiler-free still.
I thought it wasn't spoiler-free.
I
thought we were spoilers.
No. Just Nick, mute that spoiler.
Big spoiler. Thanks, Nick.
And Nick, roll back the part where I said spoiler-free thoughts, Richard. Okay, Rich, spoiler-free thoughts.
Sorry.
But you stopped at a certain point in the book.
I stopped at a certain point in the book. When I got to that point again I also wanted, if it wasn't for the book club, I wouldn't have continued. I was just kind of bored. I wasn't connected to the characters again. So my feelings on the book were the same as they were 2 years ago.
Got it. Yeah, I gave it a 2 out of 5 stars. So I think a bit flawed. I did not connect with it. And like you said, if you can connect with some of the characters, maybe that would have just boosted my whole rating and categories as well. But I found it, I was thinking back to our talk on C.S. Lewis and his article about on science fiction. One of the things about this is it being called Jade City, and we'll talk about this a lot in world building, but I felt like Jade itself was a supplement for Narcos or a drug of some type. And the Jade itself wasn't interesting, and the way it was ingrained was sure consistent, but to me, one dimensional might be the wrong word. It just lacked the fantasy feel. I felt like the story could have been told without any of the fantasy elements, and that I've seen this kind of crime novel movie before. So that didn't enthrall me. Also, the prose-wise, there was a bit of jumping back a lot, so that the character would be introduced to something, and you talk about something, and then you get a bunch of backstory. And the big thing this came down to for me was a lot of the lacking of mystery. I was given answers constantly. And I kind of, we found out motivations, we found out how the setup of things from the get-go. I was never going, oh, why does this character work this way? Or how does this connect to this? It was constantly an answer and going, oh. So it lacks the interest going forward because it was overly explained and sure, fun at times, but just it didn't leave a lot to be imagined.
I have a particular scene and line from the story here that we'll talk about in the spoiler section that... It's an example of that problem for me, of both the writing style that doesn't connect with me and then also characters, why I'm not connecting with those characters in that way. So we'll get to that later. But overall, what's your highest category here?
Highest category, I'll still give it to the characters. That's my highest.
See, I'm actually going to give it to plot because I've read some very incoherent plots. I think the plot is solid. I think it's a solid plot. If I liked the characters more, I would enjoy it more.
Yeah.
But that's the fundamental thing. I think it's pretty good. I gave that one like a 3.25.
Okay.
To give, example, just above neutral.
Okay. We'll talk about plot because I can see, I don't think it's not incoherent at all.
No, that's the thing.
I get you. I give characters highest, you give plot highest.
We'll talk about the flaws or the criticisms we have with plot.
Yes.
I have them as well.
And what do you think the worst category was? Is it sad I have a lot tied?
I have two things tied for my worst category. It's emotional impact and prose.
Those are two of mine. I also throw in world.
Gotcha.
Yep. So
Jai Sedai convinced me to bump up my world score.
Fair enough.
There were elements to it of I was looking for the magic and the world to be one thing, and he showed me what it was actually going for. I was like, oh, okay, that's actually pretty interesting and fun.
Yeah.
That I was just taking for granted. Anyway,
makes sense. Do you want to give the warning this time?
I'll give the warning. from now on, spoilers.
Yes.
I'm so glad we have an editor to save you guys from my blunder.
So spoiler, this is full spoiler warning.
Yep.
First category, Rich.
First category.
Talk to me emotionally. How do you feel? What was the emotional? Let's get into our feelings, okay?
Yeah. So in this case, I have emotional impact lower than my overall score.
Oh, okay.
Often they're often the same.
Yep.
As it is, but I give this one a 2. 2 out of 5.
Me too.
Yeah. Now, why did you give it? Why do you think it's flawed? Why do you think it's a flawed emotional connection?
So I think it was going for both drama and action. So the family drama type and action packs. I can't fault it for the action because maybe I would have been invested in those action scenes. It would have been a cool, you know, the end scene with Hilo and it. That could have been cool if I liked it. So mine's more focused on feeling the family drama and the dynamics between them. And that's where it failed for me because I wanted to be emotionally invested into it, the family drama that this is. And there were constant scenes for me that I guess I'll use one big example that you'll agree with. We talked about this a bit. But for example, Shay's character in this whole family drama has to make a pivotal decision to either join the family, be a weatherman, or stay with her old life and actually leave the family, not join. Either join, leave or stay. What do you do? What's the decision? And you put this well before we were talking about this. You put it well in the way that Shay's only interesting decision was to join as a weatherman. Her other option wasn't that alluring or wasn't that interesting. Didn't have a.
It feels like she's kind of puttering around until she joins.
And just meandering.
She starts to become interesting once she joins. If I'm actually more invested in her character.
Yep.
Specifically, the positive scene from her is when she first joins as a weatherman and she has to bring in the old guard and she plays off of her allies of like, hey, I'm going to make my ally think it was his idea. And basically playing people off each other. I'm going, hey, look at that. Like, she's interesting. Look at that. She has an uphill battle, but she's fairly competent. Like, okay, fun. Yeah. I like seeing her think on this. But how far, like, that's well after halfway through the book that I start to become vaguely interested in her. Everything else before that I thought was overexplained and not interesting. Of her just not wanting to be part of the family, but also came back home. And it's like, well, okay, well, you came back home. Did you come back home for a certain job? No, she's going to find something. Well, why'd you come back home then if you're not going to be, like, you wanted to separate yourself from your family? Why come back? It's like, well, because the
Espana was
Espanians were mean. They don't get us. They don't get what it means to be a greenbone. It's like, but you have been wearing jade for years.
Yeah, see,
you're not really a greenbone.
A part of why
she
went back was she wanted to leave this, but ended up being people wanted her to still play with the jade. It wasn't what she thought it was.
Yeah,
it was not the experience she thought it would be, and came back.
And ultimately, just not interesting. Maybe it's realistic that she's on the fence. She knows that she probably made a poor decision. She regrets it. The grass is greener on the other side, all that stuff. But not fun. Not interesting.
I get you. Was there another? So off of that scene, why'd you give it a 2 stars overall? What would you agree with the emotions it was going for?
To give better examples of Lon dies.
Yes.
That was the spoiler that Nick bleeped out for us.
Yes, good.
Yeah. Lon dies around chapter, you know, around page 200.
To give a little context to Lon, Shay, they're all part of this family and this No Peak clan. It's No Peak versus the Mountain. This is the big conflict in the book. And Lan is the head. He's the head dog now that the grandfather figure, his grandfather, is too old, going
senile.
a little senile. And so Lan's now the head of the family. And Lan dies midway through the book.
And that's Shay's brother, along with Hilo's brother, who is the... Not Fist. He is
the... Let's make sure we get the terms right. Hilo
the pillar, is... the weatherman, and then the...
The third person we're forgetting what the role is. But I'll find that as you continue.
Yeah. Anyway. At that point, this was over 2 years ago. Lan dies, and I feel like I should care. That seems like something you should care about and want to know what happens next. And that was the point I wanted to drop the book. And
Pillar Horn Weatherman.
horn. There we go. Thank you.
Yep, so he was the horn. Yep.
But now it happened the same spot again of Lon dies, and I wanted to drop the book. I would have dropped the book if it was any other circumstance. So that's a failure of emotional connection for me.
To double down on that too, something Levy brought up that I 100% agree with was Lan dies right after something interesting happens where he has that addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts to go, okay, what's happening with Lan here? Lan here. What's going on? We find out this pivotal, oh, okay, there's more going on. Now he's using, was it SN1?
Yeah.
And that starts to get compelling. Then he dies. Kind of takes away that interesting plot
line. It was set up, that's the reason why he dies. But yeah. It would have, what's more interesting? I would rather play with that idea of make him a bit more compelling, like him having to hide it. I could have been invested more into that. But then he just up and dies. I'm like, oh.
I have a big complaint with him when we get the characters, but I want to keep it on just our feels right now.
There's the other emotions. We talked a little bit about Shay, the disconnection there.
Yeah.
The other characters, Hilo, the horn of the No Fist clan. Is that No Fist?
No Peak.
No Peak. Thank you.
No Peak, the mountain.
No Peak, mountain. Yep. So the No Peak clan, I liked him well enough. Like, of the characters, he's definitely the most enjoyable,
agreed,
personable, fun to follow, clearly flawed,
yep,
interesting enough. I didn't love him, but I was at least more connected to him. The other character that I was definitely not interested in and then became interested in, like, this would be the fundamental reason why I'm going to read the next book, is...
Anden, right?
Anden. I did not have an emotional connection to Anden. I thought throughout the book going, like, why is he a POV character? I don't understand why he's here. Why am I getting his perspective when we could have gotten literally anyone else? I didn't think it was important. Then the very end, it's like, okay, he served a plot purpose, but still, did this need to be a POV? And then the actual ending happened of him refusing the jade. I'm like, oh, I'm actually interested in where he goes. I'm emotionally invested in this character now.
But the problem for you is that didn't happen until that last chapter.
Yeah.
Essentially, right?
I was confused of... I don't care why I should skip these chapters. This doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So that's all emotional impact for me.
Okay.
Did not work.
What scene worked the best? Was it that scene at the end that worked the best for you?
Oh, that was the most emotionally connected scenes. I thought it was, they set up a good, Fonda Lee set up a really good connection between Aiden and Hilo of their relationship.
And
Hilo. God, I'm terrible with names.
I am too. I'm impressed that I just corrected you. I'm feeling really highbrow right now.
You could have gaslit me. It could have been the other, but I'll trust you.
Yes.
But set up a good relationship between the two of them.
Yep.
Of Hilo kicking Aiden out of the family was emotional. Of like, oh, okay, I'm now invested. What's going to happen next? And so that worked the best.
Nice. Yeah, I think that covers it for emotion.
Mm-hmm.
People that did love this book, also let us know below. And Fonda Lee, please stop watching this if you are. Don't torture yourself with our thoughts on this. So, next category.
Yeah.
Thought-provokingness, the messages and themes. What'd you give that out of 5 stars?
Thought-provoking, I gave a 2.75.
So, below average for you?
Below average.
I gave it 2.5 stars. Disappointing. I'll go, I was a little disappointed.
Yeah.
Nothing crazy. Wasn't bad. But what do you think the theme and message was of the whole book?
I mean...
Or multiple.
The theme is all about... family, like blood, over, you know, the value of loyalty, family,
honor, and loyalties.
Yep.
Yep.
That's the big theme over the whole book.
Actually, it's probably in the cover. It says family is duty, magic is power, honor is everything. There it is.
That's the theme of the book.
Here you go.
There you go. It's pretty self-explanatory.
Oh, it took us a lot of effort to figure out the theme.
What are some, do you know any underlying themes that you would say are important to this book?
Oh, beyond?
Yes, beyond the overt stuff.
I think a lot of it, so with the loyalties comes the smaller themes, the whole staying or leaving.
Mm.
That whole, do you decide to stay with tradition or fight against tradition? So, I think it all does tie into that, and a good theme does kind of center around a main focal point. There's probably smaller things that we'll find as we talk about it, but let's stick on that for a second.
Sure. There's smaller things in the grand scope of it of... I'm getting the name wrong. Aiden?
Anden.
Anden.
I hope I'm right because I've tried correcting you now a lot of times.
I think you are.
But and Hilo calls him Andy.
Yeah.
But he's Anden.
So Anden at the very end, his whole struggle with not accepting Jade and coming out as wanting to be Jadeless is not an allegory, but is representative of coming out of the closet as homosexual.
Jai told us that as well. Yeah,
Jai also got that, where Anden is homosexual, but that's not a... It's not a big deal in the book.
I mean, to Hilo, it's nothing.
To Hilo, it's nothing. To the rest of the culture, it's not...
frowned upon?
It's not frowned upon, but it's also not like... It's not celebrated. It's not the same. It's seen as, oh, that's unfortunate. It's seen as like being a cripple. But no one blames you. No one's hostile to you. But it's not positive. But it's also not like a huge negative. So anyway, the point being...
Yeah,
him coming out as wanting to be Jadeless is the thing that gets him kicked out of the family. So that's the...
Could be a metaphor or allegory.
Yeah,
What would the term be? Metaphor?
Metaphor, yeah. Sure.
So beyond that, again, that centers around the honor, loyalties to family. So that whole focal point, I think it starts with the grandfather. The grandfather, the patriarch of this family, going senile and passing it on to the next... Not his next generation, because the next generation isn't all there, but to his grandson's generation and with Lan. And so it's kind of Lan battling with the trying to keep with the old. And for example, the loyalty that, what's his name? Oh my goodness. His grandfather's Donshun, Doshu. Help me out here.
I think it's Doshu.
Yeah, let's double check. But it's the one that betrays them.
Yeah.
The uncle.
Doru?
Figure. Doru. Yes, Doru.
Doru.
So. With sticking with tradition, not wanting to go against the grain, but also seeing there's new times here and how to fit in this new world.
He's stuck between two eras of he's trying to foster in the new... He's trying to be a good pillar for a peacetime era. He's trying to be open-minded.
Yep.
But also keep with tradition. He's trying to play the middle role versus he's fighting both ends. The mountain is even more forward thinking, like buck all tradition, try to, selling Jade to the whole wide world and controlling it that way rather than trying to keep it to just the green bones.
Yep.
And then his grandfather just also undermining him and everything. So he's rejected by both sides, trying to rule in the middle.
Yes. And then Hilo respects loyalty to a fault, where he's so hyper loyal. If you just do the slightest thing against him or big grievances against him, he will go at you. He sees if you go against family, go against that loyalty to him and others, that's a serious...
Well, he sees disagreement as often disloyalty, and someone wanting to have their own decision and their own autonomy. Oh, that's, you're going against the family. How he treats Shay, of Shay wanting to have her own life and go away. That's disloyal to her family, that she needs to be forgiven, even though she didn't abandon a particular responsibility. She wasn't, like, it would be one thing if she was Weatherman and then abandoned them. She had no responsibility. Maybe it was assumed, but she wanted to live her own life. And Anda took that as a betrayal of the family.
Yeah.
Where, no, she just wanted a different path for herself than you. And same thing with Anden, of him wanting a different life and seeing things a little differently. Hilo sees that as a betrayal of the family, even though Anden quite literally saved his ass and has fought and risked life and death to try and save the family. He's done everything he could. And even that's not enough to prove... Hilo, it's on or off. There's no in-between.
With Lan, it's all in-between.
You would have... Hilo should be able to look at that and going, okay, Anden fought to save my life against everything. He... risk life and limb to protect me, protect my family.
He has always been there. Why does he not want Jade? There's got to be something else. It's not him betraying the family. There's got to be something else here.
Yeah.
Because he's proven himself otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Then why overall, because I think we established what it's going for, the themes. Why was it below average to you?
To me, those ideas, I don't think are... All the stuff we said is, yeah, that's the stuff that's discussed. I'm not connecting with the family drama of... So, loyalty and the family dynamic
of
family over outsiders and all these things. To me, it's very surface level of the... To give an example of Hilo versus Shay and the tension between the two.
Yeah.
Is told to us. We don't really see it that often, and it doesn't come out in any big way. I know there are some scenes. I just don't think it was enough for me to really feel the drama, where instead narrator comes in and just tells us, hey, these things happen. There's beef between the two. They don't see eye to eye. And then like.
That's it. All right. Like, we get two.
So she tells a great theme. Yeah. But she tells a theme, but it doesn't.
We get two scenes of Shay and Hilo
having their like tension between them by their history. Of the first one, when Hilo confronts her at her apartment going like, what the hell? You've been back for how many months and you just don't visit? You don't call? What are we? you don't.
By the way,
tell
I say the same
anything.
Thing about you.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but anyways.
Yeah.
So you can
but you don't contact... What's wrong?
You are family. Why are you cutting us out?
Yes.
Why don't you ever call me? Why you're here and you never say hi? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Are we nothing to you? And...
That was a good scene. Would have liked more. And then we get the one where she is now his weatherman and weatherwoman, whatever.
I just think of the meme. Wouldn't you like that weather boy? In world building, you have a complaint about the name, a name in here.
Yeah.
Which we'll get at.
We'll get to it.
Yes. Yes.
But that scene
of her being more combative with Hilo, and Hilo kind of metaphorically cuffing her, saying, I'm the pillar now. We can't be squabbling like,
children and siblings. I'm the pillar. You're the weatherman. Ultimately, fall in line. That's the role. I'm here. You're here. Get with it.
Yeah.
So we have that. I would have liked more. I would have liked actual seeing some of these scenes rather than just being told of the tension between the two of them.
So it came to the presentation of the message. So it's not that the theme was incoherent. It wasn't insulting. It's just, did it also leave you at a point where a lot of good themes at the end make you relook at something a new way, or kind of makes you recontextualize the stuff you read in the first half of the book in a new way? Did it not really do that for you either? Because a part of it for me was from the start to the finish. Theme was very clear. It didn't leave something from the start of the book to the end of the book. The theme didn't seem to develop. It was a constant, okay, I got it from the get-go of... You know,
the pivotal moment for Shay
when she's confronted by the leader of the mountain.
Yes.
Offered the opportunity to betray her family. And she decides to stick by her family. And that's like, she goes, there's a weight off her shoulders. As she
realized like she's fully stepped in, that she's not one foot out or anything, that she is fully committed to her family and she will defend them even at risk of personal death. All that stuff. Supposed to be kind of more of a pivotal moment. To me, it just doesn't connect as well. It's like, duh. Of course.
Yeah.
One, why would you believe her? Why would you betray your family on maybe she'll
keep a word about it?
Maybe, yeah.
But also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that offer. Was very
kind of a dumb offer.
Yeah. It's
why would she ever believe that would
work?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's like maybe, but she's the enemy's weatherman.
Yeah,
of course she would be killed. Like
yes,
no.
Yeah, it's really strange. Yeah, it's really strange.
Her just being a call means she's in with him, whether she likes it or not. She's going down with the ship.
Yeah, these kind of lackluster, like, oh, will she, won't she? No, she won't. It's, I guess that's all the questions, but I think there's a hit, is the never going, oh, there's a possibility that Shay might do this.
Can you imagine, like, add a little bit more spice of the whole plot line of her relationship with the Aspenian soldier?
Yep.
Imagine we bring that to this book of it's an active relationship. and she is being pulled between her relationship with the Ismenians, yeah, the Ismenian man, and her family. Then we see some actual tension, like,
will she, won't she?
Will she, won't she? Will she choose love or her family? And Lord's
like, but she's already done with that. She's like, yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I can just imagine that, like, all the beginning stuff would have been far more compelling to me.
Actually, yeah.
Actively her living her life with her boyfriend, whatever it is actively driving a wedge between her and her family. And then she, you know, imagine Lon dies, then bam, we get, she says, yes, I'll become the weatherman. And she didn't tell
her tiny boyfriend, husband, whatever. And now she has dual loyalty. It's like, uh-oh.
Right.
In this weird spot. One foot in, one foot out. And the mountain maybe threatens him.
Or shows some type of connection. Maybe the Spenian boyfriend shows, like, I actually have connections because of my military background to the mountain. I'm kind of on the mountain side here. Now she has to choose between her family and her newfound family.
It's all about believing.
That could have been
believing,
like,
the options are both compelling, but they were not in this case.
Yeah. And so that leaves the theme of
loyalty, family, honor.
My honor!
Honor! Yeah, it's just not as compelling.
Yes. And to give an example, because I know we're complaining about this a bit, but something that does loyalty, family, that family drama perfectly for a message would be Sword of Kaigan for me.
Yep.
That's one of them, right up in my head. Yeah. So that's one that does it. There's others as well, and it has more themes than just that. But just to show, comparing it to others, I think there's others to be desired in the genre.
Howling Dark.
Yes. Can leave it there, boy.
Leave it there.
Leave it there. That's right.
But you eat.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah, no.
Audience.
Oh, you know.
Very fundamental question.
I feel like it's turned into Adam Sandler like that. When I get excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, Howling Dark's badass. Okay. Do you want to go to characters?
Yeah.
What'd you give it out of 5 stars?
2.5.
Disappointing?
Disappointing.
Ah, the first one I gave higher. I gave 2.75.
Why did you give it a higher score?
I mean, it's still low. I'm not gonna argue to get yours higher. Just below average. I think it's the best of the categories, just because the characters are consistent and clear characters. But it's inherently, I guess, when we rate our characters, a 5-star to us means this is an irreplaceable character, and
can't imagine a different character filling that role.
Yes, and the 1-star is incoherent. Doesn't make sense. Like, I'm confused by your motivations. Just below average for me, because I'll say quickly, Hilo was my favorite of the characters and think the best of them. But then I have a big complaint about Lan, Shay, as we could already imagine, then we'll mention some of the others. But do you want to start with a certain character and then break it down from there? Because we have a very similar rating. So we can.
Sure.
Do you want to start with Hilo?
Sure, let's talk.
Because I think both of us are most positive about Hilo.
Yeah, I think there's some definitely really good positives looking forward to.
Yeah.
Because I will read the other books, because there's so many series where the first book didn't grab me completely, but the rest of the series really did.
Yep.
This seems like a great example to just try and trust and continue on.
Mm-hmm.
But Hilo himself is a very charismatic guy. He's a great example of showing how to obtain loyalty. Why does he have loyalty? I think it's a lot better in this book, where instead of just you have a character and everyone's loyal to him because they're the main character.
Yep.
You actively see why the fighters and the lower ranking members of the No Peak clan is loyal to Hilo. How connected, we get plenty of great examples of how he treats his men, how he treats outsiders, but they're his men, like how he absorbs the family that's been cut off. He marries the Deadeye sister. He marries and he brings in the two brothers as his people.
Yeah.
A Stone Eye, thank you.
Yeah, Stone Eye. Yeah.
That's.
I want to let you keep going though, so I don't want to keep correcting.
No, that kind of stuff does show a rootable kind of character. Like, that's a really rootable quality.
It's not that he's just flawed, but his personality is, the reason he expects loyalty and sees it so seriously is because he gives loyalty.
Yeah.
So that's why he values it so much, is how could you betray me when I've given so much effort into this relationship?
Mm-hmm.
So you can understand why he feels betrayed and taken aback
and he's this, as again, Jai Sedai, for having us read, he said he considers him the mad dog of the family, that kind of the one with the edge, the one that's seen to have, doesn't have a chain on him, and has fierce loyalty from the members. So that's why he's also a threat to the mountain, and that's why he's seen as more of a presence than Lan, is where Lan is seen more of a lame duck, kind of more of a,
you can. But the problem with Hilo is he's predictable. It's easily, you can very easily get him to do what you want him to do, because you want him to start, like, you can poke the bear and the bear is going to react at, you just know how he's going to react every time.
Yep.
And it took shape like immediately after Lon's death of what is Hilo's first thought of, just, I'm going to go straight to the heart of it. I'm going to attack the I'm going to attack the Mountain Clan head on. And, you know, Shay's like, that's a terrible idea. We're going to all die, because
is he a little bit like Zuko in season one?
I guess, kind of.
Like, after last episode of Zuko, a little bit.
Sure.
Kind of just headstrong.
Not thinking about these things more. He lets his emotions get in the way.
Yeah.
And it took Shay to go, like, look, we got to be tactful about this.
Yeah.
They expect us to be very overt with our attacks. Let's trick them.
Yeah.
Let's make them think we're attacking and then actually take back this certain quarter. Like, we can kill quite a few of their green bones in a more covert way.
Yeah. We could kill them with kindness by cutting their heads off. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which makes him, he's a great horn. He's a great fighter. He's fiercely loyal, all these things, but a planner
and a pillar,
probably not the best.
We'll see how he develops, though.
We'll see.
So, with book one, left it consistent character, not a lot of complaints, I guess. Oh, one complaint I'll make. It's more pro stuff probably, but his character voice sometimes was very video game NPC, like,
oh,
I'm gonna da-da-da-da.
he wears his feelings on his sleeve.
He does, and in his lines.
I'm upset right now.
I'm so totally venting, bro. Like, he. I don't know. Maybe I just read into it like that. I'm sure.
I understand.
So
there's not a lot of subtext to his dialogue, and
yeah,
it doesn't have to be.
No, that's fine.
But
for a main character, sometimes you want a little bit more to be desired.
I want some mystery of what is Hilo thinking?
Yeah. No,
I'm never wondering, what is this character thinking?
No, just like, that's definitely,
he says what he thinks.
And then when his wife is, so when the stone, right? Hilo's wife, when yeah. Yep. They're fit for each other. She was a clear character as well. It seemed like her
I liked her well enough. Yeah. She was fun. Feisty. Also,
feisty kitten. There was a whole discussion there in the book club as well about the word kitten.
Yeah, some people didn't like the use of the pet name kitten. To me, it's like, I don't know. It dates the book. It's
would you
to
call
you
me
a
kitten?
Sorry.
It's
kind of a little nauseous.
Thing in your. Okay. clearly not. I call you my. What's the meaning? I'll think of it by the end.
Doll face.
Oh, that's good. Not as, I feel like kitten's a little bit more condescending.
Yeah, it's up there.
Yeah.
Pudding down cup.
There. Ah, I like that better. Yes.
Because, like, pudding is one thing. Pudding cup.
Pudding cup.
Put in cup.
I'm trying to do a southern accent.
Oh, you're not very good at
it. I'm sorry. But yes, when not a main character, do you want to go on to Lan?
Sure. He's a likable character.
Sure.
But also not particularly interesting.
Can I give my big complaint?
Go ahead.
My big complaint about Lan is the replaceability of Lan. I think it was very clear he was a plot device. A tiny spoilers for Game of Thrones. If you don't know, big spoilers for the first season of Game of Thrones. Skip like 10 seconds. But Ned Stark. Because Ned Stark dies, okay, that's the last I'll mention it. Lan is supposed to fill that role as well. That vacuum of, okay, the character that you think is going to be the main character gets taken away. Family has to deal with the result of that. And Lan's character, to me, as we mentioned, the emotional impact part, the one pull for him, that conflict between, he had that addiction issue and then kind of died. So the interesting part lasted a very short period of time. But Lan from the get-go didn't have a crazy depth to him, rootable, was dealing with everything happening. The conflict came from I'll leave it at that, because he did internal conflicts too, but there was...
There's also something that should have been more interesting and yet didn't grab me.
Which part?
His whole relationship with his ex-wife and how his ex-wife left him for another man, and in the Kinganese culture, like him, especially as the pillar, should have hunted down the other man, killed him, and like besmirches his honor. That's what Hilo would have done. It's what everyone expected of him. And for him to just say, like, no, leave her alone. Like, let her move on.
Mm-hmm.
Leave. Like, I don't want, if I could hunt him if I wanted to. I could kill him myself if I want to. I don't want anyone else doing it. Leave her alone. And that's him being, and then the sadness he brings from that. Like, it, that should have gotten me a little bit better. Especially
why didn't it, though?
I don't know. A lot of it's just kind of told. Like, I what do we get from that? Basically, Lon is more progressive than his peers. He's not as bloodthirsty. He's willing to let things go. I mean, he's willing. The main thing is he's willing to let other people have their own path. He's not going to force people to do what he wants. Same thing with Shay. He's not going to put anyone in a box. He wants people to be with him voluntarily. He won't force them. Hilo, on the other hand, will. He has expectations of people, and if you don't fill those expectations, you're a traitor. Versus Lon sees, he has expectations, but he understands that people have expectations of themselves, and so it's not.
He's more tactful too. He cares what other people think more so. Hilo's just bullheaded with things. Whole scene where he's trying, doesn't want Doru to be there.
Mm-hmm.
He's sketchy about Doru, sends Shay to go investigate. So it's not that he just kicked Doru out, but he wanted to tactfully and competently get rid of Doru and figure out there's more.
He knows
this.
The ramifications of, hey, look, Doru has a lot of loyalty within the clan. If I just kick him out arbitrarily, put someone else in, there are ramifications. I'm going to lose a lot of other people that were connected to Doru unless I can prove something and to maybe win back, to basically prove to Doru's loyal followers to now follow me, like, look, he was disloyal. That would be better. And then also all the connection to his grandfather. It makes sense why he didn't trust Doru, but he also
didn't get rid of him. He's he's competent.
Yeah. Yeah. So Lon's pretty competent character, but all that stuff with his ex-wife was not as compelling as I maybe think it should be. It was just another example of Lon letting people choose their own path.
Right. And that's kind of why I give this just below average. None of the characters do things that aren't expected. It's not like they break their character, but leaves a gap. With Lan, I guess Shay we could talk about too.
Mm-hmm.
Shay, we touched upon that stay or leave, the decision she has to make, that being uninteresting. Shay's a character. What did you see, I guess, as we're talking about her flaws, her wants, her needs? Who is she as a character? What made Shay Shay? I guess if you want to talk about the others as well, to say what made them them. Hilo, I think we covered good enough, but
yeah, I mean, I guess what is told to us is Shay has a inferiority complex, especially when she was younger. I don't really see that nearly as much in present day. Maybe I guess she got over that flaw, kind of. And then she needs purpose, and she's kind of aimless. Once she's left the family, she doesn't know what she wants to do. She just wants to be. She wants to be self-sufficient. She wants to have her own identity rather than just assuming the family identity.
And to be fair, there aren't arcs in this book, not full arcs in this book.
Not really.
It's one of those continuing series where you get presented with the characters. These are who they are. And then I guess we're left to ask ourselves the big part about characters. Why this character? Why was this the one to tell this story? And did you feel that any of them were, oh, this person had to be here? This person.
Hilo.
Yes.
Hilo has the
of
most.
Of all of them.
He goes through the biggest change of he. You get to see that.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And you can get started now by saving when you join today.
We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
It's there's a concept in like a lot of businesses of you, if you do really well in a role, you often can get promoted out of your rightful spot. So if someone is a very good manufacturer, a very good software engineer,
okay,
they're very good at they're really good at coding. It's what they're good at.
Yeah.
And then because they're so good, they get promoted to management. Management is a different skill. It's not the same.
Yeah.
Just because you're a good coder doesn't mean you're going to be a good manager. And so often businesses can promote the good people out of the best role for them.
Right.
And I think Hilo's an example of he was promoted to not his role. he got promoted out of his
horn.
Yeah. And he's a great horn. That's what he's good for. But pillar? Eh.
Yeah.
We'll see.
He's the most interesting.
And he
because
can also
seeing,
change. Yeah. Like, he has the most of, like, he's definitely not who should be there. And he acknowledges it. But, okay, now he is.
Yeah.
Is he going to stay how he is, or is he going to change to fill his role?
Which is why he seems the most interesting of the bunch, because he has that compelling, you put a character like him in a role he shouldn't be in. Whereas Shay, Lan now being dead, but Shay and Anda, do you want to touch on them? Of. Yep. So Anden, I guess, and Shay, because we didn't cover her too much.
Yeah, Anden was the biggest swing for me.
At the very end.
Exactly. Yeah. Throughout the entire story, I'm going, why is he here? Why is this POV even here? I'm not particularly interested.
I was asking that, too, the whole time, just going, okay, what?
What part?
Like, it seemed like he was there for the family. Yeah. As in for Hilo and their interactions with him, rather than him himself, until the end.
Exactly, where I'm going, okay.
He seemed like a pawn.
Did this need to be a POV character, particularly?
Yeah, that was the big issue, wasn't it?
And then at the very end, with him, this was set up really well, of the backstory with, okay, how it was set up I don't like as much, but the fact that his mother dying because of her connection to Jade and her oversensitivity, then his connection with Lon and knowing about the SM1, knowing that Lon's sensitivity to Jade, which he takes personally, he goes, oh my God, if I told someone, maybe Lon would have survived. And he's seeing all these different examples of the danger that Jade's sensitivity has.
Yeah.
And ultimately, he knows he's also incredibly sensitive to it. He saw his mother kill himself. He saw Lon, drive himself off a cliff and die because of his Jade sensitivity. And now he's being offered to take Jade. And he's like, no.
Makes sense.
And he's also scared of himself. Now he gets to see how he... It's not just, oh, I'm scared of dying. It's when he fought against the Mountain's Horn, of him being able to kill people with a thought. He didn't even have to touch them, and he was able to just stop their hearts through channeling, and the joy he felt from it. He had so much. He's like, oh, I'm a monster. I've never felt more joy than the snuffing out of these human lives. And I'm right now aching for it. I want it again. That's terrifying to me. Along with, I've seen Lon die because of this Jade sensitivity. My mother died. I am not meant for this.
Yeah.
This is the wrong role for me, even though I've trained my whole life for it. And then he denies the Jade, betraying to Hilo. He gets kicked out of the family. That's interesting. That's cool.
I guess that we missed a whole part of thought-provoking this message, drug addiction.
Sure.
A lot of Jade and this... is an allegory, metaphor of sorts, of drug addiction, because what Anden's dealing with, looking at Jade and what happened to his mother, very much a one-to-one for... Yeah. It's as if a society promoted drug use.
Yeah.
And, hey, you should take the Jade. It's good. It's powerful.
To be fair, Wall Street does run on cocaine.
So Jade City is Wall Street.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
It's a lot of cocaine.
Does that change your perspective on the thought-provokingness at all, or still the
not
same?
Particularly.
Because it didn't
Yeah.
No, no, no more to be said.
Magic cocaine.
Got it.
To be fair, a lot of the powers seem like what people high on cocaine would think they could do. They're faster, stronger. they feel
they can
like
now
connection with
run them. A podcast.
Woo!
So, but that was interesting for Anna. So you put that more into plot, I imagine, instead of character stuff, because you thought, at the end it hooked you there.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Because it didn't make Anna's character the whole time like, oh, that made sense. He had to be the character here until the very end. You go, oh, I see.
I am now at the very, very end going, oh, what's going to happen to this character?
Yeah.
I'm more curious on what's going to happen rather than, oh, I deeply care about this character. I want to know where they go.
Okay.
That's very different. So I don't really put that a character detail. I make that more of a plot.
Anything you want to mention about the grandfather, Ash Barrow? Barrow's the thief at the beginning. Mara. Any of these characters that stuck out?
Barrow seems important. I get it. Showing the underclass on how they're connected to Jade, which is more, he's more of a world building tool, I think, like world building and plot tool rather than a character.
Okay.
You know, he grays a good example of, and we'll talk about this in world building more. How the magic system is not necessarily integrated into the technology of the world, not necessarily like as interesting of like the history of Jade is there,
yeah,
but it's not particularly interesting. It's power, cool, interesting. Yeah. It's more how does that affect class structure? That's how the magic is integrated and how that's integrated into the world.
Okay.
So that's what that character, that's what Barry, is it?
Barrow.
Barrow. That's Barrow's connection. And then also plot of,
yeah. Yeah.
He's somewhat responsible for Lon's death.
Yes.
Kind of.
Somewhat. Yeah.
Somewhat. Lon kind of killed himself, but.
No. Not, didn't kill himself.
I mean.
But assisted.
Like, he was shot at, and he was like, I wasn't hit. And now the drugs are getting to me. I'm going to fall into the river now and drown. If he was going for a midnight stroll at the same time, he may have died the exact same way. The gunfire just got him to the water.
Mm. I guess I
hear you. Or maybe the gunfire like elevated his heart, like the end. I don't know. It's left up to interpretation.
Do you have any other thoughts on the characters here? Do you feel like you got your... You got your two cents in.
I guess so. I mean, yeah. There's Doru. Like,
oh, Doru, we did.
Pretty simple of like, don't like him. Not a fan. like, what else is there? And then there's the grandfather who's...
Senile,
old man.
Dementia. And
man, he's really... He does not like his family. He really does not like his grandchildren.
No. He loved his son. Actively undermining them. He kind of sees now that the son's gone, that hurt him so much.
That he's like, oh, nothing else, Matt. Like, I'm going to...
My son's dead.
I'd rather the mountain be the only green bones. He values green bone society over his own family.
Also, how much is that in his old age now? It's pushing him more in that direction, I think, the senileness.
Yeah, because so would he still be doing would he that? Still be trying to betray the family if he really knew that the mountain was trying to sell Jade to the rest of the world? That seems like the one thing the grandfather actually would be, you know, would actually agree with Hilo on, or Lon on, but all well.
All well. What would you... Did you want to go on to plot?
Sure.
Plot. What did you give out of 5 stars?
3.25.
It's your highest.
This is my highest.
Above average.
Above average.
I give it 2.25.
Okay.
Very disappointed by the plot.
What really disappointed you about it?
I almost wanted to give it a 2, but maybe you'll convince me to keep it at the 2.25.
Okay.
We'll see. I'm kind of leaning. I don't know. I'll say 2.25. But why that low? Mm-hmm. So first, to give overview, when we're talking plot, trying to be a little constructive with this, A plot and B plot.
Yeah.
They're going for family drama in a big A plot. Or you can say that's one of the, it would A or B, whichever one. Family drama. And then the big clan war. The No Peak versus Mountain is then the big conflict of the family drama.
I'd say the clan war is definitely a B plot.
And that's how I said it too.
Yeah. Including in the clan war is the stuff outside. Like what's happening to the Jade.
Yep.
Is Jade being the
grander conflict that's brewing.
Exactly.
Beyond the, okay, this is the on front, the family's, and then big. And then with that being said, the story types that this was going through, that the ones I would like to pinpoint, when we talked about Save the Cat, the story, Save the Cat, the 10 genres, the type of story a lot of these characters are in, especially Shay, is institutionalized. Institutionalized types of stories, you're presented with, you're in some type of society or you're not. There's a big decision that has to be made. You stay or do you leave? That type of story. Actually, I have the three ingredients. It's you're in a group. You're either born into a family, organization, or business. Then there's a choice. Join, not join, stay, leave, and a sacrifice. Save it, escape it, etc. And then ultimately, there's also a bit of the academia with Anden, things like that. So kind of give the broad scope of what was going on in this plot. What were the story types? How did all that go? Why ultimately disappointed me was I'm going to steal what Levy said because I like what he said a lot. He put in good words where there was the promised progress payoff of the plot, and the worst portion of it was the progress. Mm. That it felt like there was to get to the ultimate conclusion. And the payoff itself, just the progress was deeply uninteresting. Or just how the story beats went.
Things were set up and then immediately paid off. And it's like, okay. Right.
So why I don't see it as flawed wasn't this. I look at the story structure and go, okay, this makes sense as a story. But I was so disappointed by it because of all the decisions that were made to get us to that conclusion. Left me very like going, oh, there's nothing to get me. And we kind of alluded to this a lot already, but I have some examples I can give. But your overall thoughts first, and I'll jump in.
I think it's a coherent plot of things make sense. I think it's not a series of and thens, it's therefores. Because a lot of things hinge on particular deaths and choices made that add to different questions. The fact that Lon dies, now Hilo's in the role. The betrayal of Doru, all these things hinges is like, therefore, I think it's
coherent. Yeah,
it's coherent and well thought out of leads to the next thing. The action itself, I put the action in here as well. I think the action's done well. It's fun kung fu fighting. If cared more about the characters, then I would be more invested in some of the fight scenes.
You put that in plot for you? I put more emotion, probably. I would say
An action adventure. I don't know.
Okay.
I guess.
You're saying as a theme, or not as a theme, as a story, like just an action story. Okay.
It's fun when the action comes up and the action is well written.
Okay.
So, I don't know. It works.
Okay.
And, but I think we both agree on the progress section being the worst element.
Yes.
We briefly talked about Lon being introduced, like his drug addiction, and then. Like a chapter later or the same chapter dies. It's like, okay. Or Anden. Anden being like, hey, what's his background? And then we find out about his mother, then her death, and the connection. And it's like everything was dropped in a chapter.
That's why I'm ultimately like, very disappointed by it. Because all these interesting things that could happen in the progress are so quickly summarized or answered. So Shay's introduced. We understand her backstory, why she's here. Shay is, you want to read it off?
I want to read the line that bothered me. Now, this is more of a prose thing.
But it can go in plot, too, because this is a plot issue as well.
And characters of why I'm not really connected.
Yep.
So this is
The setup of the scene?
Shay is arriving back home in K-Khan after being in Aspenia. She decided to come back to her home. But she decided she's not going to join the family. She's not going to be involved in family business. She's going to find a job somewhere else.
Okay.
But wants to come back home. So, Shay replaced the phone receiver in its cradle, caught off guard by how easy it had been to slip into old behaviors within minutes of setting foot on K-Khan. She sat down on a bench in the baggage claim area for a few minutes. Suddenly, reluctant to take the final steps through the revolving exit doors, something told her that when they spun her around and pushed her out, the journey would be irrevocable. Okay. Like, kind of my first introduction to it, like, kind of all summed up there of the fact that actually saying to you, like, her pausing at the door is, it's irrevocable. It's like, too much. Don't give me all that information.
Giving you too much answers.
I don't need that. Just immediately, how easy it is to slip a note. It's like, just have her pause at the door. And then, like, why? Why is she hesitant? Or show me instead of just telling me that all these emotions that she's feeling.
Yeah.
That's kind of my problem with it and why I'm not as connected to him.
Right.
Now, I was told that a lot of this is style, like this, apparently, and I guess I can agree with it, but I'm not 100% positive that a lot of like Japanese, Asian, Chinese, like a lot of Asian influenced stories are very direct and I would say over-explained, but that's not how they would say it, but it's a certain style.
But what about, we've heard stories like Grace of Kings that work perfectly with this kind of style. I think it's the presentation of, well, Grace of Kings is more omniscient, less character focused, exactly, but there's something about the way the conflict is presented in this that is different. Mm-hmm. That the internal conflict is so in your face and clear that it's a mix between how much mystery do you leave versus how much do you give.
And what I'm told, I'm told what to think.
Yes. Rather than if you stories all the time will have to tell you things. Every story tells you. Yeah, almost a vast majority tells you. It's not all show, don't tell. But what the tell does is leaves you with more that you want to be told or shown in the future. Because the tell should also serve a purpose of giving it, for that to be done effectively, I'd see that plot point of gives you enough of Shay, then leaves you with the next moment of, okay, since she thinks this way and since she's long, what's the next thing? But doesn't leave you or I with enough after that.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe so, if we're talking about a little bit more characters again, of giving her an actual choice between joining back point, with the family or going her own way.
Yeah.
In this case, we're kind of left with, okay, well, what's she going to do? Okay, she's afraid of stepping back into that role, but then why'd you come back?
Right.
And do you have any plans? No. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. Doesn't work as well for me.
The plot started off with Barrow and then we get this action scene of them coming to steal Jade. Mm-hmm. And we see immediately from the get-go this gangster type story coming to steal Jade. The family drama set up where Shay comes back in town. Lan is trying to deal with holding the family now that he's in charge. Hilo's being a bit on edge, being the horn. Big plot point I think that happens was where you stopped in the book, page 199, 200, where Lan just about dies. And that midpoint then on is the aftermath of how does Hilo take charge? How does Shay deal as the weatherman? And we start to see a bit of the workings with kicking Doru out. Might have happened before that. Yeah. Doru kicked out before there.
Doru's happened like right at that midpoint.
Right there. Yeah. And then we have Anden and his background. I guess one of my big, I can go another big complaint I had, where Anden's story, where we talked about him in characters, has the academia trope, and trope's not a negative word. So that has that academia trope.
Cliche is the negative version of a trope.
Yeah, or you could say like I was going to say a joke, couldn't find it. Failed attempt. Tried to do it.
It's all right.
I'm going to go back. So a trope, so that academia trope.
I love how our editor leaves in those type of
things.
Oh,
no, never. No, we never take out anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all in here. You get to see us raw.
Unless we spoil something.
We'll bleep it.
We'll bleep it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just how it goes. Yeah. So the academia trope where academia love like the will of the many. I haven't read Harry Potter yet, but Hogwarts. And Name of the Wind, which we don't like, but academia tropes. Anden and his whole story here gets, I guess, finally trying to get the academia trope finale, that conclusion, the big Anden like doesn't take the Jade. So you get that big academia moment without the academia setup. Because there was so little, and there was enough that we got of Anden, but not enough to, I didn't get connected to the characters in the school.
They set up the whole, like, his first introduction of his crush on some boy.
Yep.
And then that's kind of subsequently dropped. And
it just felt like there was these story archetypes that were put in there of this is the academia story. And then wanted that to be concluded. So that whole subplot, I'm just going, oh. The whole word I'm using here is more to be desired. Just, it was kind of there.
It also, the whole part of like academia kind of stuff is like, you know, them coming into their own powers and like learning things. And ultimately, he's best of their class.
I couldn't tell you much about the school.
I have no clue. They learn how to do green boning.
Yeah.
They're boning.
Yeah.
They're green boning.
They're green boning. those are kids. Don't say that.
They're green horning. That sounds just as bad.
Yeah, it's real bad, actually. Yeah. They're They're no peaking. They're not peaking. That's that also doesn't work. Damn it.
God damn.
Wow, this Fonda, you dirty dog. Are all these just euphemisms?
How can I say green boning in a not sexual way?
It's impossible. Nope.
Oh God. They're practicing.
They're practicing
their fantasy drugs.
Yes. Good. You didn't say practicing their fantasies. That would have left it.
That's also. Yeah.
Damn it.
Damn.
Our fantasies. Damn.
It's real hard.
That's one complaint I have. Then the other on. I don't want to be repetitive with other stuff we said, but Lan dying right after got that interesting point. Also, his entire purpose feeling much like a plot archetype, like him to leave so that that role could be filled. Just a constant. I guess the payoff, like you. That made sense. It was Anden's decision. I think that's what pulls me from going into this as a flawed book, because at the end, I see the point. I see the pull going into the next book. I'm like, got you. I understand.
Also, you have Hilo of winning the day, but the consequence of he broke the honor codes that apparently they're all supposed to hold. Like, he had Anden, like, interfere with that kind of fight. Like, yeah, technically, he's alive. He won. But what are the consequences of that?
Yes.
And so, like, I get it.
So not, I wouldn't say flower. I would just say it's so disappointed because to get me to that end wasn't compelling.
Yeah.
And I guess to give one more example as well. Do you have anything that you want to add in with the middle point of the book, with Lan's death, Doro leaving? Was that the best portion for you? Because I want to give some credits to.
I mean, it was the worst. I wanted to. That's the part I DNF'd the first time, right. And then wanted to the second time.
Yes,
I was not particularly interested. However, once I got into the Hilo part of Hilo's Now the Pillar, then I had the fun scene with Shay of like, oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Then there's the negotiation scenes with Hilo and the Mountain.
Yeah,
more interesting, and you get a few moments of. Hilo's different, but there's a competent leader in there somewhere. Yeah. Like the moment when he actually is thinking tactfully of he's dealing with like the mayor or governor or whatever of Kaycon and going, I can't do this the way Lan was. I need this man's loyalty. And then let's change tact. And I'm going, look, right now, you're an open member of the, you know, No Peak clan. Do you really think that if the Mountain fully wipes us out, that you're not going to lose your position and your life? Really? You think you can switch sides? No. You're with us. Like, if you're with us, I'm your friend. And I protect my friends. You know what I do with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not my friend, like, you're not going to be the Mountain's friend. Like, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah.
And so finally I'm going like, him knowing the pressure points was like, oh, okay, cool. And he's right.
Yeah.
Him dealing with the Mountain leader in negotiation was kind of a fun thing. And we'll talk about this in world building of how he can censor Jade and the difference that green bones have of no weapons, no guns are on the table, no knives, but them just having Jade on them is weapon enough. The illusion of security for regular people, of he can sense or walk into the building, he can sense hostility and all these, they're sensing each other's emotions in real time and how that changes negotiation. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I think those are the positive stuff of the book did get better after Lan's death.
I guess, yeah, that's my point. Is I think after the Lan's death portion, after that midpoint, was more interesting than the first half.
That's kind of why I was given like plot higher. I was more interested in what's going to happen and more dynamic.
Fair enough. Do you want to go on to world building?
Yeah.
This is the one where you changed a bit on it. You went a little higher.
A bit.
What's your total score for it out of 5 stars?
2.75.
Okay, still below average?
Still below average.
I gave 2 star. I will say flawed.
See, yeah. I would have gone lower. I would have given it a 2 star, but...
It's not going for what you thought it was going for.
But
you
it
expected
is going for...
one thing, but didn't get that.
Exactly. But I got something else. And the example I just talked about with... how Jade affects negotiations of how it affects the class structure is actually well done, of how Green Bones are kind of living in this different world of how they can sense each other, how they can feel each other, they can feel their emotions. To some degree, it's all a posturing contest, and then all of the non-jade-wearing people just have no clue, but they want a piece of it. And it's such a rigid class structure that our character in the beginning, Barrow?
Barrow, yeah.
Barrow being, he got a taste of jade, and now he just has to have more.
Yep.
And what he'll do to get it. Yeah, it's pretty good.
I can quote Jai here for he's defending Jade as well, where mm-hmm. he says, Jade has allowed the Kekanese Green Bones to overthrow Imperial Shotar, capture all the political, military, and civilian power in Kikan, establish a class structure to their advantage, and become ultra-rich. Jade is used in medicine, sports, and policing. Green Bones have created a partially meritocratic society where jade prowess is valued above all.
Jade has defined the Kekanese religion and created mysticism about Kikan with the entire world. The new technology has developed a chemical to allow non-Kekanese to use jade, which has led foreign nations now trying to obtain bioenergetic jade as a precious weapon in an arms race with other foreign nations. There's an entire race of aboriginal people called the Abukai who are defined just by their non-reactivity to jade, not to mention that jade is a narcotic and can lead to overdose consequences. That's part of how he's showing how jade's ingrained in the culture.
Yeah, which that goes beyond just, oh, jade is fantasy drug. It's fantasy cocaine. Mm. Not so simple. Like it goes beyond that. So it's pretty enjoyable.
So you see that there's more to it, that you yes. wanted something out of there. Did you go in expecting, I want this jade to have an interesting magic system itself?
Yeah. I'm not particularly interested in the jade magic system itself,
no.
but its effect on a culture is there and something to be enjoyed.
Because like it affects your senses, speed, strength, that sort of stuff. That's what jade actually does.
Yeah.
And then its application, like that scene you're talking about with the negotiations,
mm-hmm.
application can be cool in that way.
But other than that, I know there's like the six different ways jade actually can manifest, but you don't really go into it here. And ultimately, like, even though it has those elements, yeah. it comes down to they're super fast and strong, and they can force push things and
yeah,
make their skin. They're fast and strong is the big thing. And that's what's yeah. focused on.
Yes. And I guess a lot of it, too. So world for the one of your big complaints I'll bring up.
Oh, yeah.
Is it time?
I thought it was a placeholder name. Yeah. I understand how close it is. But so in this world, they have the equivalent of in their history, you know, world war. The world yeah. wars have happened. In here, it's called the Many Nations War. I don't like it. I don't like that at all.
I didn't mind it.
I
thought it sounded like unobtainium.
Yes. It sounds weird. It sounds like a placeholder name.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You couldn't come up with Fondly.
What about Pillars, Horns, God. Fists? Those are cool names.
Those are cooler names. Yeah. The Many Nations War. I don't like it. That's a pet peeve. Is that an objective thing of, oh, this is bad? No.
When we interview her, this better be your first question.
I think so. I think it will be.
I have a pet peeve.
Why did you call it the Many Nations War?
What was that?
What was that about?
Can
you come up with, like, you got so many other cooler names. Couldn't you come up
with... What would you have called it?
Oh, I mean, World War. I mean, World War works. But no, I mean, Total War. I mean...
Total War?
The Total War. There's something else. You can even call it a fantasy word of just like,
it's tough.
The Shakanian War. I mean, like, whatever. You got Kankanese, like, fantasy name, but just the Many Nations War.
Mm. Total War is kind of the same as that. Total War, Many Nations War, the War, the Great War.
Yeah.
The War to End All Wars.
Those work. Though somehow it's because it's history. I just don't like the Many Nations War.
Nope. Okay.
I don't like the name.
Okay. So for me, the complaint I have about this in general is, yes, although jade is integrated in those ways, as a fantasy book where it's called Jade City and it centers around this jade, feels like it uses the fantasy element of Jade. I guess it's described as a fantasy, and it is a fantasy book, an urban fantasy book, but doesn't use the fantasy to its advantage. I think that Jade's replaceable with a narcotic type value. That no, it, you could just replace the Jade thing with a light sci-fi thing or a insert here MacGuffin. Nothing changes. Like, sure, just have it interact with that new type of MacGuffin.
The actual story is not
impacted.
Not really impacted, or the idea of it being fantasy doesn't elevate the story.
Right, because the people having different being stronger, being able to sense. I get that that's a fantasy element, so you can sense in a room, then negotiate.
That's why I improved it a little bit more. Like goes. It's not that simple. It's not like it's a stapled-on thing. It is integrated into the culture and the how people interact, especially Greenbones.
Yep.
I think that is a bit more.
Yes. It's not just replaceable, but it's not enough for me. And I'll say, so I wasn't looking for elementic, how does this work exactly, but the big thing for me for the magic and just the world and the culture, the history, was similar to part of the plot issue I had, but it worked with the world, probably worse for the world, were the answers that were given. The scope of the world was relatively narrow in this book, which don't mind focusing on something, but just like our characters were introduced to a scene and then their motivations were explained, the world was kind of handed in this way that I don't want to go back and explore more, which I will go read book two because I'm told it's better and we're going to
give it a shot.
Going to give it a shot, yeah. But all the mysteries that there could have been about the world and the history feels like any time a new world thing was introduced, I understood it.
Anden with channeling, of how good he is at channeling. That was brought up real quick and then paid off. It wasn't a thing in the beginning. It's like, oh, I'm showed examples of.
Well, here's another thing.
So it's like, oh, he's good at channeling.
Yeah.
And he's not good at. What was it? Manifesting his, like, he wasn't good at, like, pushing.
Sure.
The whatever force push thing. But he was good at channeling. They said it, and it's like, okay.
And channeling's powerful. Channeling's.
Just kill things with a thought. Why try anything else? Why focus on any other power?
Do that.
Do that one. Where you go,
kapow,
die.
Alakazam.
Dead. Just. I don't even need to touch you. Just. Die.
I just thought it.
I just thought it, and your heart stops.
And then another example here is even with the mountain. Correct me if I'm wrong. This is how I read it. We're with the mountain, and as they're introduced, and what are their motivations here? How do they kind of function? And then the answer kind of comes quickly of, oh, they also just want power and stuff, and that's their role here in the world, and they're looking for. Even the conflict between the two clans wasn't anything deeper than power conflict or conflict for the world. Didn't leave more to me go, oh, is there something more nefarious? Is there something? All of it was very much understandable. So
the fundamental disagreement between the two clans is how Jade should be treated in the global scale. That's the B plot, basically. Hey, how is the control of Jade is massively important for the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
How is it going to go? Now we have two clans that are fighting over, you know, isolationism versus global control.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the underlying thing, but yeah.
But again, that's from the get-go. When we were explaining that pretty early on, before the midpoint, or was it right? No, it happened after Lan died, right?
Yeah, it was basically, we get little clues, kind of we know. The Mountain Clan is selling off Jade before Lan dies.
Right.
Of, hey, look, the Mountain's been smuggling Jade production. So they, like, it could be just money. But then right after Lan dies, we get more stuff with, oh, actually they're selling it and trying to control it.
Yes. And I guess another thing to complain about Jade I'll throw in there is the interesting thing about magic usually is its limits, its flaws. Like, what can it do? The part that Jade does do in this book is, hey, you can go. It get addicted, go insane. There's stretches to you can only use so much Jade, and that's your limit. And to me, as a limit, it's like, oh, you just use too much, and then it gets bad. It's just a very lame, uninspiring for me to go, the limits of this magic, which, again, not the focus, not that Jade is the although it's called Jade City, the uses and the rules of Jade isn't focused in this book. But even what is explained and or even what is given is just very, the application isn't as fun because I don't understand that, oh, you just went, you used a little too much and then you had to pull back.
That's
which
the thing.
In other
the Jade
systems,
is not fun.
Yeah.
And maybe that's personal preference here, but when you have a fun fantasy magic system, a lot of it is, ooh, how is this going to be applied? Oh, hey, here's a weird scenario. Like, the fact that it was dropped at kind of at the end there that different green bones have specializations the six different aspects. Well, if that was introduced in the beginning and we show maybe pump that up a little bit more,
so
make it a bit more
extreme. Focus is channeling.
And just show the, hey, he's not good at these other things and why, how he would fight a little differently. Maybe Hilo has a certain speciality and how he uses that to advantage it, how he has a disadvantage. It would have made it more fun to how he applies his magic system in a fight.
Yeah.
Rather than just, he big, he's strong, he's fast.
He does the fight.
He fight.
Yes. And if you don't use too much, then don't get too addicted. Don't push too hard.
Which ultimately they say more Jade, it like means more powerful, but also it doesn't seem that that's a real hard, fast rule because, you know, Hilo seems to have like a ton of Jade, but ultimately, like, you can have less Jade than someone else and still
win. You also
win.
Train for, so the green bones at school are training, their Kakanis are training to use the Jade as well. Like, how trained are you to be able to withhold that amount of Jade? You can't just start like, bare bones. It's something
like
that is...
Lon having more Jade, it doesn't make him more powerful. Mm. It's like, ultimately, it's debilitating. So, I don't know. It's not as...
It's the application issue of it. So, which is why, when I ask why this have to be a fantasy, when the why Jade would be necessary in this book is, the application of it and the limits, the flaws of this magic MacGuffin here make it interesting enough for the fantasy world. But when it's given so little to how the world functions, not that it's not connected to the cultures and the Jade's the focal point. It's important as I guess it's more of an economic tool than anything else. I think that's the focal point of Jade, economic.
Yeah.
It's the economy of Jade and how that presents the conflict of the story. That's what Jade's there for. So for a world, I'm just going, okay. So I'm not compelled to go back. The history of the world and even the bits we got from España or the Kekanese, there's the aboriginal people, but all of it, as it's presented, I feel like I'm given information and then presented with it. And okay, now I understand the thing. I guess read a little bit more like a textbook than a story.
Sure.
So, which, hey, textbooks, not history books are awesome. Just to read something and go, oh, okay, that's the history of the world.
History textbooks are not awesome.
No. History books.
History books
textbooks
can
suck,
be awesome.
But history books are great. And this read more like a textbook than a history book is what I'm getting. But anything else you want to say on?
No, that's about it.
Okay. Then we got our last section here, prose.
So I already read one. I gave it a 2 out of 5.
I also gave it 2 out of 5. So flawed for you.
I would go beyond disappointed into flawed of the over-explanation of character motivations and scenes.
I actually think I tapped the same thing as you for the first one.
I think you did.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so that was a scene that we both remember, but it happens several other times. For me, frequently when a character would have a moment and something odd happens, like an interaction between characters is like, ooh, that's tense. Why is it? And then the narrator comes in and then just gives the full explanation of like the entire history between the two of like what happened between them. And then we're just like, and then we're done. I'm like, oh.
And to clarify for the audience here, when we're rating prose, are 5 stars irreplaceable. Like they have a style that's distinct, unique to them, and skillful. Mm-hmm. Our 1 star is distracting. So this leaned way more toward distracting because as you're saying, it pulled you out going, oh, whoa, the story's happening. And now you're getting muddled because it's giving this, it jumps you back. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And you're kind of dazzled. Razzle-dazzled a bit.
It distracted me.
And then there's portions like this. As we talked to her as well, we're not saying we could write better than these authors. This is just, we're critics here. So we're just trying to be stupid. But this section here, just a couple of examples of some more trite sayings where on page 239, Andon let out a shaky breath he hadn't realized he'd been holding. you know, that kind of. So there's some phrases like that, and I didn't tab too many of them, but Hilo's NPC, his more edgy, wears it on his sleeve dialogue. But then even some of these side antagonists, like this isn't, it's silly for me just pointing one line. That doesn't represent the whole book, but here's another one line. This is in a scene where Barrow's going to, the person that was bullying Barrow, trying to get the mountain that was working with Barrow, says, he pointed at the set of stairs leading underground. Don't touch a thing down there. Now get before I change my mind. You know, I'm doing that, and it's kind of, you know, those things, as I'm listening to the audiobook, I'll click that, the clip, be like, oh, okay, it's something that I just hear, and it doesn't mean it's bad or poorly written, but it's just some of it came across as like the leaned more toward a phrase that you've heard everywhere. What's the word? A starts with a P. That platitude. Not a saying that's a platitude, but it's said so often it loses any sort of magic to that line, where you almost want to stay away from some lines like that, just because at the end of the day, when you hear at the end of the day, it's one of those things that everybody said so often, now it loses its...
How difficult is it to talk about the prose here?
Yeah.
In comparison, you haven't finished it yet, but just like, give it a nugget of like Lonesome Dove. And the prose, like specifically like the dialogue between characters, is just like, no platitude. Just it is.
It's them.
It's literally them.
Platitudes and quotes can be done well too when it's purposeful too.
It's often fun.
It's
like, specifically Augustus when, uses when it you're and people call him out on it.
Exactly.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
It's great.
So it's the way it's presented, but maybe I wasn't being fair enough, because I had the time to focus on the prose since I wasn't super invested in the story, so the prose distracted me more because I didn't have anything to hold on to. Because, for example, Mistborn, book one of Mistborn, I give it like a 3-star prose. It's not the best prose, but I'm not super critical of it, even though the dialogue's like, eh.
Yeah.
But story was fun enough, so the prose kind of just moved me through and did the job.
Now, how much of this is style versus an actual flaw? Compare Mistborn. Mistborn, there are aspects of the prose which leave some mystery to, I don't know. The little things of how Vin is described and her feelings. I don't particularly know how Vin feels about a thing. I have an idea, but there's deeper layers that, like, I don't know exactly.
You don't know what she's going to do.
We get to discover what's going to happen, and we get introduced little things along the way. In this, it's as soon as a question comes up, it's kind of immediately answered, given full context and narrated out. And that's a prose issue for me.
Yeah.
It kills any sense of mystery and question I have.
Yeah. It's in editing, ordering, when to present information. That's a big point of how it's made. And also with some of those examples given, I wanted to be fair, give the top quote on Goodreads. So this is the one that people like the most, that's most uploaded and quotable. Expectations are a funny thing, Wen said. When you're born with them, you resent them, fight against them. When you've never been given any, you feel the lack of them your whole life. Now, that was a top quote. Even for it being a top quote, that didn't come...
It's not bad.
It's not bad, but that being a top quote, I still wasn't super wild. Now, all that being said, though, it was able to... When you say, is it actually flawed prose? I think it's... To emphasize here, that's what we are giving it based on just how it distracted us when we were reading. I imagine some of you would agree out there. For example, there's books out there that are objectively really well written that maybe you'd see as more flawed because you're going, oh, this you're telling over showing. And I guess that's what it comes down to, too. Show, don't tell is a good general rule, but
it's not a hard, fast rule.
It is definitely not. Definitely not. Like, there's stories we love. Guy Gavroche, okay, his prose tells. And it's phenomenal.
He tells you enough and leaves mystery.
Exactly.
That's the main thing.
Exactly. Also shows. Perfect. It's just a good balance. It's
the thing, if you are telling, if you're doing a lot of explaining, narration, you're telling the backstory, you're lore dropping, whatever it is, whatever you're explaining, you should also leave more questions than you particularly answered.
Right.
Don't answer every question. Like, give me something to
also
think about.
With your tell, what you love about prose is of our 6 categories here, if the prose moves the other 5 categories up in that line, so Terry Pratchett tells you a lot. Like, he'll show you a crap ton. But then there will be lines where he's just telling you about Uckmore Pork, or he's explaining things to you.
He
but
does a lot of telling.
What he does in that tell is he'll move forward, so that tell will give you world aspect, character voice, emotionally will be funny, and then it's a plot, moves the plot forward. A lot of this tell, I think what didn't work is when this was being presented, it's like, okay, here's Shay's, what Shay's telling you. What I get is I'm being told Shay's backstory. Okay.
Yeah. It's over-explanation of character.
Yes. And it's doing one thing. The tell is going, here's information.
Yep.
Exposition to Shay. Exposition the world. That's what it felt like a lot. So that's why where the pros maybe we would have liked more, if that section right there goes, here's world nugget, here's this, here's a...
Example of where it does at least two things is when Shay is in the church, when she goes to church to pray for like the first time. We get an exposition up of how her relationship to the church growing up. Well, what does that do? That gives us exposition dump of more about Shay and her relationship to her faith, but it also tells us more about the world and how, oh, that's how Jade is viewed as a religion. How exactly is it like it? Jade being a gift of life from the heavens above, like it's a piece of divinity, all these things. That does at least two things.
Yeah.
That's better.
Yeah, I forgot about that section, but yeah.
Other than, compare that to the Doru thing of why does Shay hate Doru? Like, they haven't even met yet.
Oh,
we haven't
even gotten there. We're told Shay hates Doru before Shay meets Doru.
Yeah, and then just, it's immediately dropped up.
Whereas, to improve that.
Doru sexually assaulted Shay's friend, and that fundamentally changed her relationship with her own grandfather, because her grandfather now defended Doru, and that's the reason why Shay basically left. I'm like, okay.
Where maybe a way of doing
and
that better
there it is.
is meeting Doru in the dialogue and in that exchange, getting that information there. Just the way it would be weaved in would be, oh, okay.
Or a moment with the grandfather, maybe not even with Doru.
Maybe with grandfather,
The grandfather bringing up Doru and Shay going like, why do you still have him around here? You have to know. Just something a bit better.
Yeah.
I would have liked it more integrated and else discovering it.
Agreed.
Than just being told.
Agreed. Can't wait to interview finally. We're genuinely excited, okay? We're going to be honest to the books we read because we're getting to that point where we're a large channel. And thank you, everybody, for following us on this journey.
It's keeping our feet to the fire.
Yes, it is. But we're a large channel now where we're able to interview and talk to these people who we're actually reviewing their books about.
That's the fun thing with BookTube is 30,000 subscribers is not large. But it's large for BookTube.
Oh, for BookTube, yes.
And so we get to talk to authors in that sense.
It's a lot of fun.
It's kind of cool. It is. If we were a 30,000 subscriber movie channel, we don't get to talk to directors or actors or anything.
No. Also, the directors, the Scorsese's, all of them are way...
We can talk, a bunch of authors are interleague. Yeah. Well, fantasy sci-fi authors are... Many are in... The realm of they're willing to talk to
us. We can't get the Sanderson yet. We can't get the George Martin. No.
We're not getting George Martin. No. We're not getting Stephen King.
Unless you all just added them on whatever social media and said, you got to talk to us. That's one way it could happen.
There we go.
Yeah.
Our little call to action.
Other call to action, of course, check our Patreon link to the description below. Merch, as always, we never promote our merch. So merch, we have tutoramble.com. We have merch.
We got cool stuff.
Actually, I think I brought a... Ah, yes, our bookmarks. And, of course, we had a display ad in this video.
Yeah.
Remember to use code TUTORAMBLE and check out display for some cool-ass display stuff.
Yeah.
But, Rich, did you want to finish with a final thought to think?
Jade City may not have been for me, but I'm going to give it a second try.
Not the first book, but you're going to give the second book a try.
So many of my favorite series now have had a disappointing first book. And so it would not be fair for me not to give this series another shot with book two. I hope to report back with better news.
Yes, I guess another benefit of channel stuff is I might not have tried the second book if not for reviewing it.
Yeah.
Which got me to read Howling Dark, so there's a lot where it comes back in the second book and saves it. But that is all for now.
All righty.
We'll see you all next
time. Bye,
episode.
Everyone.
Bye-bye.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. And now save 50% on the new Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Plus free home delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.